Have you ever had someone recommend something to you? Have you ever asked for a recommendation for something? Have you ever taken a recommendation you regretted? Do you have something you want to recommend? Welcome to Recommended to Me by a Friend. If you're anything like me, you've probably had a lot of people who have given you a lot of recommendations for everything, from what to watch, to what to eat, to where you should spend your free time. Come and hear what happens when this overscheduled writer not only expands her horizons with new recommendations, but also tests the boundaries of friendship as I drag a new co-host along for the ride. Will I have made a positive memory, or will I give my friends a new reason not to answer my calls? Find out on this new episode of Recommended to Me by a Friend. I think it's gonna be okay. It's gonna be fine. I think it's fine. It's fine now. We got back. I got to my hotel. I would say I think I got in my room about
2:30. Yeah.
I was telling Dan earlier that was the longest shuffle from my elevator. What normally takes me 5 steps took me, I don't know, 50 tiny little angry steps.
You were like, this is such a huge pool.
It was, yeah. I was passing by the pool and I was like, no, I don't notice the size of the pool because I don't take 5 minutes to cross it. But there was one point I didn't tell you. I was trying to go to, like, I was ready to go to bed. And I had, like, carefully stacked everything I needed because my room has 2 queen-size beds. And I stacked everything I needed on the other bed so I wouldn't have to get up. Oh. And I realized I left something in the bathroom. And I seriously was like, I can sleep in contacts. Like, that's fine. I was like, no, just no.
But anyway. Oh, we never got you the new contact case.
Oh, it's fine.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was a fun experience, but I will say it did greatly affect Wednesday.
Yes.
Wednesday, we were going to...
Wednesday was a crash day.
Wednesday, we were going to go to the Hollywood Forever Cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, my body was like...
We were also going to go join one of the picket lines. Yes. Or at least that was my plan.
Oh, if I had thought about that, I would have done it.
There's a lot of walking to do in LA, but you would have... died.
I would have
pick a line, and then they might have gotten a contract because people just, I mean, that's the thing, right? If
wow, but yeah, I would have died. Yeah. Like, honestly, I've never felt worse, like, and a thing outside of like heavy drinking.
Uh-huh.
And I haven't done that in a long time.
Yeah,
but
you did get to try a California pizza kitchen in California.
You came to hang out with me, and we just watched television. I didn't even know it because I fell asleep at some point. Uh-huh.
I watched Pawn Stars.
Yeah, you were just watching Pawn Stars, just sitting on the other bed.
I don't have cable at home, so I'm just like, yeah, hotel cable. This is awesome.
Just and I ordered that butter cake, too. That was a thing I'm not used to, is Uber Eats. I was like, I'm so tired, whatever. You're telling me people are going to... All I have to do is give them some money and they're going to bring me sustenance? Yeah, let's make that happen.
And it's not just pizza. It's like everything.
But then we went to go meet some writer friends that I have not gotten to meet in person. And I finally got to meet them in person.
Yeah. And we had a little meetup.
We normally have, like, whenever we do get together, it's normally like at about 7-ish, which is about 9-ish for me.
Yeah.
And we will chit-chat for at least 2 hours. And so... I know that, and so, like, I get ready for bed, and it's so nice to, like, meet people that I want to impress professionally when I'm not in jammy jams.
Oh.
that's a nice thing.
Yeah.
And that was fun. I got to meet some people. I got to hear some stories, and that was fun because that's where I met, like, in person. Yeah. I got to meet one of our 2 companions for Universal, Laura, and then Sarah met us there.
Yeah.
So, next day was Universal.
Mm-hmm.
In his infinite wisdom, Dan got us tickets that opened the park up for us at 2.
Yep. So it split the day.
Because we were there, we did a special ticketed event, Halloween Horror Nights. Whew. Yeah.
It is an intense experience.
It is at that. I don't want to give away a lot of the details on the mazes. For obvious reasons.
Well, I will say, the mazes are... They call them mazes. They are haunted houses. They are walkthroughs. They have really great production values. Yeah. Obviously, it's a Hollywood studio on a Hollywood backlot, and they do use some of the best craftsmen in available to them in the industry to build these things. And it's a studio.
You have a lot of actors that are really talented and might be underutilized right now, like people that are looking to get into it.
All of the people. Actors. Well, yeah. All of the people, as far as I have been told, who are there as scarers are park employees.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay. I just assumed. Okay. Well, yeah. That's cool.
That's what I've been told by a couple park plays that I know.
Now, we got in at 2. Halloween Horror Nights officially starts at 6. So we had a good 4 hours.
Yep. I got to explore the daytime park.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I got to... what is the first thing we did? We did something. The tram tour. We did the tram tour, the not haunted tram tour.
You didn't want to do the tram tour initially.
I didn't. I thought it was going to be... I was like, I don't want to sit here and listen to a TED talk about all of this. Because that's what I thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. I thought it was going to be like the backlot tour in Disney, which is fun, kind of. But if you know, like, you have to really want to see the cars used in this, that, or the other thing. But
and they did have the cars used in this, that, and the other thing. But it was a very small section. Yeah.
But not just that.
Warner Brothers is a working, functional
studio.
And one of the oldest.
In the world.
In the world.
In the world.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. I believe they just celebrated their 100th anniversary just a little bit ago.
We got to see so many things. We got to see the set of Tortuga from Black Pearl. We got to see the plane crash scene from...
War of the Worlds.
War of the Worlds. Mm-hmm. We got to see Norman Bates' house. We got to see the Chicken Ranch from Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
We got to see The Good Place.
Yes, we got to see The Good Place.
From The Good Place.
From The Good Place. Yeah. Depicting The Good Place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We saw just probably a snippet of, like, the Back to the Future set. There was actually a commercial filming.
Right.
So parts that you would normally be able to drive the tram through, they were closed sets because it's an actual functional backlot.
We 100% can't go into what they were filming for because we 100% do not know.
We don't know. The tour guide was very clear. I signed an NDA.
He didn't know.
Will not allow me to say anything.
Yeah, and I get that. But it was really, really neat. Like, we got to see... Like, so many details that you don't even think of.
One of the things they have to demonstrate how they do a storm on the back lot, they simulate a storm with strobe lights and sprinklers and everything, and then they unleash huge amounts of water to show you a flood. And that flood was actually used in, did they say City Slickers?
No, Big Fat Liar.
Big Fat Liar.
Yeah. Now, what I liked most, something that added... to the experience and what I was worried about was going to happen at the backlot tour. Now this, what they did with the tram tour is not only did they show you the sets, but they can show you clips of the movies they were used in. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh my goodness. We went through the Good Place set and then it showed this on the monitors, but there's a fountain. And for those of you who watch the Good Place, I was like, that's the Clam Lazy River for Pump Up the Clam.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's so many little things. I was like, yeah, that's pretty cool. And they do two kind of 3D show immersion things.
Yeah.
One of which is very impressive.
Yeah, the King Kong ride.
And one of which is fun.
Fast and the Furious.
If you like the Fast and the Furious movies.
Which I do-ish. I'm not...
And I'm not going to
judge you for that. I wouldn't call myself a Fast and the Furious fanboy, but I do enjoy them.
But, yeah. But anyway, so I think after that... We did...
There was also an ambush by Dilophosaurus.
What?
An ambush by Dilophosaurus.
Oh, yeah. They hosed us.
And then
Norman Bates chased us with a knife from his house. I think that was kind of it for like the interactive stuff. And that was enough, though.
There is... Cool. The earthquake was closed. We didn't get to do that. But normally on the tour, they take you into a show building... And
there's
a simulated earthquake. And it's very, it's all practical. There's pyrotechnics. There's more water effects. It's very cool. Mm-hmm. So definitely something that's worth a return trip.
Yeah.
And of course, like, they didn't show us everything because they couldn't because active set. So you do see different things on different tram tours.
Well, not just that, but it was Halloween Horror Nights. Mm-hmm. And so there were some things that they were setting up for the Halloween Horror Nights. Yeah. Like the haunted tram tour.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I get it, but so we had a couple of hours to kill, and
we went on the Despicable Me.
No, before that, we went to Mario Land.
We did.
Here we go.
Oh, yes.
That was a bonus. I was not expecting that at all.
I wasn't expecting that. I've heard the lines are outrageous.
They have one big attraction, which we'll get to in a second, but the second you walk through the warp pipe, you are in the video game. If you were born in the 80s and you were a 90s kid, this was everything Nickelodeon Arcade promised and more. And it was the thing is, these power-up bands were like insanely expensive.
I think they're like $40. $30-$40?
I think one of them said that they were like $60. And I was like, no, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It was neat, but I did notice a lot of lines for that. You use your power band to hit a question block and like something happens.
Yeah. I think there's like a boss fight at one point.
I don't know.
Against like a giant piranha plant or a King Bob-omb or something like that. But
we went right into the Mario Kart ride. Mm-hmm. And the basic premise is you are on a team with other racers, and you're racing against Bowser's team, and you're on Mario's team. Mm-hmm. And so you're racing not as, but with Mario and Luigi and Peach and, you know, the good guys.
Yeah.
Against Bowser and his children. Okay. So a car setup. It is four people to a car. Mm-hmm. Each seat has its own color. And you have these visors that give you some 3D goggles. And that is, and the steering wheels, everyone has a steering wheel, and you can shoot shells that you can aim by looking through the goggles. Yeah. You have to steer based on, obviously it doesn't move your car, like you can't just like careen into the scenery. Yeah. But
you can't go off the track.
You can't.
Yeah.
But you do get points. You get higher points if your steering matches up with the track. And in the best, what I think is the best game fashion, your points are shown at the end.
Yeah, you're competing against each other on your car and against everyone else. And for the day.
I beat Dan.
Oh, you clobbered me.
Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't the most intuitive game to me.
No.
It did take a little bit to get used to.
I was second in the car. Second place in the car. Mm-hmm. So one of the guys behind us beat me. But that's okay. But the best part of it was not necessarily the ride.
The queue.
Best part was the queue. Mm. It was
just full of Easter eggs.
Yeah. We went through like the Yoshi Island with all the free running Yoshis. We went through just like the Mario area where you pass by Koopa Troopas and piranha plants. We went to
Bowser's Castle.
We went to Bowser's Castle, and it has a lot of elements from Mario 64, Bowser Castle, Double Dash, Mario GameCube Double Dash, Bowser's Castle, and I think the latest Switch, as well as either the DS or I think it might have been the DS. But certain elements were there. The plans, there were some rides that were bonus rooms that were like plans for like the gadgets and whatnot.
Yep.
That was really neat.
There's this model on one of the desks I didn't get a good look at, but I think it might have been, like, the track.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know exactly. Yeah, you're exactly right. And there were also things, unsurprisingly, that referenced...
So the idea is that, like, Bowser is building this track, and he's building it to be a trap for Mario that Mario can't possibly beat. And you, like, get to see all of his, like, little preparations for it, how he's preparing the bob-ombs.
Various phases.
Yeah, all the traps.
I got to get
a picture. You see his blueprints, his to-do lists. It's very cool.
I got Dan to take a picture of me looking like I'm picking up a shell, like a green shell.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, it's really neat. And also, unsurprisingly, elements from the new Super Brother Mario.
Super Mother what? Yeah. Super Mother Brother-io? What?
Obviously, unsurprising, there are also some elements that were referencing the Super Mario Brothers movie that just came out, including but not limited to Bowser's chair with his framed picture of Princess Peach.
His crush is very much front and center.
Yeah. But you also get to pass by the giant Bowser statue from Mario 64. And, like, outside of the ride itself, you pass by Mario 64 Peach's castle.
Mm-hmm. Well, you enter through it.
Actually, no, we enter through the pipe.
You enter through the pipe, but the pipe puts out through the castle.
Yeah.
So we didn't notice it until we turned around at some point.
That is something. The Mario world is not big.
No.
But it is immersive.
In fact, I've heard that there have been long, long lines that are like hours long to get into the park area.
But when you're there, it is immersive. It's worth the trip. If you have the ticket to go to Universal, it's worth the trip.
Mm.
The ride itself was, like I said, just phenomenal. It was great tech. Five stars. But after that, we did the Minions ride, which I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
And then we wound up at the Chuck E. Barbecue Killer Cafe.
Yes.
And I had some alcohol with a floating jelly eyeball.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how I've ever eaten food without eyeballs. The experience was great.
I mean, what's the point of even having a drink if it's not looking back at you?
I mean, just biting into an eyeball. was pretty fun. You don't realize it's an experience you don't get to have often, or even want, but yeah.
Yeah, I think I'll pass. Okay. And I did pass.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
But then we met up with Sarah,
mm-hmm.
and that is when the Halloween adventures began.
Yes. We started off by going to the Chucky maze. Now,
I am really a big fan of Child's Play. I think it's because, like, it was my first childhood monster that I, like, conquered.
Mm.
And I really do enjoy the new series Chucky.
Mm.
And, in fact, I introduced you to that the day before on,
the like, first, our chill day. My first introduction to it is now the first episode of season 3.
Yeah. Well, but, I made you watch a recap of season 1.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I wasn't particularly lost. It seemed like they were kind of picking up mm-hmm. a little bit clean, like a little bit cold. Yep. So I wasn't lost.
There were elements in... Okay, so when we got there, I loved that, you know, Brad Dourif does the voice for Chucky, obviously.
I can't wait to play.
Well, that's another thing about Universal Studios. They have access to the actors.
Mm-hmm.
And so all the rides that you'll go to, like, they'll be either voicing the characters so they may be iconic, or they'll just show up on screens.
Yeah.
Like a Jurassic World, you've got...
Chris Pratt. Bryce Dallas Howard.
And Harry Potter has all the characters in there. So yeah, it's just, it's different from Disney. Like, Disney still has their iconic characters, but they're not really focused on, like, the live actors.
Right.
Whereas Universal very much is. Like,
yeah, and
they are,
they
are a studio. They have access to these people, mm-hmm. and they flaunt it.
Yeah, they probably film it right there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's nice.
Very much.
But, yeah, that was... the maze itself, I was super down for. And the reason why I went in so confidently, I went in like a boss.
You did. I was surprised.
And I thought, because it's Chucky...
He has a limited wingspan.
He has a limited... Because it's an animatronic puppet,
mm-hmm.
which means, logically... It can only go as far as its power source will allow.
Uh-huh. Unfortunately for you, you can also fit people in costumes.
Yeah, I was not prepared for that. What happened was the group in front of us had gotten through the little area, and mm-hmm. I, just in time, as we opened the little flap, I saw the costumed person get back in their hiding space.
Yeah.
And I immediately went, nope. And so my strategy was to try to keep my group as close to the two people in front of us as possible. And at one point, out of fear, I just grabbed the girl's backpack in front of me. I don't know her.
Mm-hmm.
And she kind of, I think she thought I was trying to scare her at first.
Yeah.
And then, like.
And then she saw the terror.
Yeah.
The raw terror in your eyes.
And she was like, just kind of like a nonverbal, like, it'll be fine. And so, and I think I bailed on you and Sarah for like a couple of seconds there, because there was a point where. There's a pass-through, like you pass through a scene,
mm-hmm.
and there's like an empty room that just has like a scary guy behind a thing, and then you go to a new scene.
Well, like there are, between pretty much every scene, there's like a black room or a black corridor that has an attendant there.
Mm-hmm.
So like, it's very unlikely that anything bad is going to happen mm-hmm. in these, like there's,
but
they would
the
be
empty,
all over anyone who tried anything at these.
In the empty rooms,
mm-hmm.
you know there's a character. There's a person
that's
in a costume that's going to, like, lunge out at you with, like, a knife or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I know, logically, I wasn't in any danger. But I was like, I don't want to be scared.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, no. And so basically, there was one point where it was a guy and a girl that were in front of us. And the guy was already going, and he had her hand. And I didn't want to, like, cling on her backpack. But at the same time, I was like, if I stay...
You had three people right behind you.
If I stay in this room...
Mm-hmm.
Actually, no, Laura wasn't there yet. It was just
you and
Sarah.
True.
And I thought, if I stay here, he's going to jump out at me, and it's just going to be me. And then I will die. And I was like... I was like, okay. So, and then I was like...
It'll be like the Ring movie, where it's just, like, rigor mortis, claws...
I feel really terrible because I did make the calculated decision. I was like, I can go with the stranger or wait here for Sarah. And I was like, they're going to be fine. I just left. I just bounced. And then after that, I made the effort, because whenever the people in front of us kind of got stopped, I kept reaching out for Sarah, like reaching behind me.
Uh-huh.
I was like, if I can just grab her, I pull her, and she'll be safe. But yeah, Production value, very great. I don't want to give away any secrets other than
there
are. This
thing is so ironic.
Yeah.
Because Sarah doesn't like horror movies.
I talked her into going.
Yeah.
Which is why I felt so bad. And then I just...
She was fine.
I straight up abandoned her. I felt terrible. I was like, oh no, it's going to be fine. It's not going to be scary at all, and I'll be there the whole time. And then 20 seconds in, I was gone.
Yeah.
I was just... I noped. I noped hard.
Yep.
I sold you guys out right
away.
It's
interesting how different people have different reactions. Like, for me, I just kind of, like, hang back, just kind of accept what's going on. 9 times out of 10, I miss the jump scare.
I wanted to see...
Laura dissociates. Just yeah. flat out
oh,
dissociates.
Oh, no, Laura's a badass.
Oh, yeah.
She was like, not today, Satan. Like,
yeah. Oh, she said that she... The most fun for her was basically looking into the eyes yeah. of the performer and, like, daring them.
Yeah, I don't have that. I don't yeah. have that. I would love to have that.
She's like, it's a power trip. Yeah. This whole thing is a power trip.
They were telling me, they were both telling me in the line for one of the other, like, haunted houses. They're like, if you just stare at them, then you have the power.
Yeah.
And I'm like, psychologically, and they're like, no. You literally have, like, they're contracted. If you do that, they yeah. can't keep coming after yeah. you. And I was like... I don't trust that. And what I meant by that was, I don't trust me. Because I'll be like, yes, sir, I'm sorry. Like, please don't stab me in the face. And
I will say, I did pretty well this year.
You did.
The one maze they got me, it's not even the maze, it was the Terror Tram.
Terror Tram is taking a dark new turn, featuring Jordan Peele's Nope and Us. Only at Universal's Halloween Horror Nights.
Mm-hmm. And the Terror Tram this
us.
Year... Yeah, the Terror Tram, the main thing is called The Exterminators, which was kind of a B-movie. It's the basic premise is insects have decided, hey, there's, like, we outnumber humans 1 billion to 1, so we're just going to exterminate them all.
That makes sense.
And so... You go through, there's people in bug masks with, like, chainsaws and, like, spraying you mm-hmm. with, like, poison, you know, air quotes poison. And it's just fun. There's, like, an influencer who pops out who's like, oh, I didn't expect to get killed. Like and share my Facebook posts. Mm-hmm. Then we got to Jupiter's Claim, which, if you don't know, is one of the locations in Jordan Peele's Nope.
Nope.
And so that section was taken over by characters from his repertoire, including the
others.
People from the others from Us.
And they had the smiles.
The smiles.
And the scissors.
And
you don't like scissors.
I don't like anything about Us. It like I recognize that Get Out is a better movie, but Us just. It yeah. gets me in a visceral way that right. very few movies do. And I literally saw that first other standing there, and I immediately was like, uh-uh, nope.
I feel like I'm going to live with the bug people now, and that's mm-hmm. my origin story.
But that was, I mean, as always, it's Halloween. You pay to get scared. And it was a good experience.
So there was a point... It was the bug one that I bailed. I bounced on that one.
Yeah.
Mm. But it wasn't necessarily because of the bugs. I recognized that it was going to be a much longer thing because you had to take a tram to get there.
Yeah.
And I thought that meant we'd have to walk however far we rode the tram.
Mm.
So a 3-minute ride is probably a lot of scares. And I was like, so we got through the bug thing. And I was okay. And then as we were approaching...
You didn't even get closer through the bug thing.
Well, no. We got through the initial bug
thing.
Yeah. There's, like, a guy with, like, the mask. Mm-hmm. And he's got, like, a sledgehammer. And he's, like, the guy in the commercials for the bug thing.
Yeah.
And we got
closer. It's, like, Larry Larva or something like that.
And then, like, he has his little thing. And then, like, bug people come out with chainsaws.
Uh-huh.
And I was fine for that.
Mm-hmm.
But then, for some reason, as we get to the point where I could see the paddocks, like, where you were supposed to walk through...
Yeah. The maze.
That's when I was, like... No, I'm bouncing. Yeah. I was like, I'm not doing this. And it had mostly to do with the fact that I didn't want to walk that far because I thought that how many times. It's like I can deal with it for a certain amount of time. That it seems like a lot longer.
Mm.
And so I had an attendant, and she actually walked me back to the trams.
Mm.
But what was fun was, as, and I didn't tell you this part, we were
walking past, and we passed by Larry Larva in the mask and everything, and they kind of like gave each other like a hand signal, and then he looked at me and kind of like cocked his head like, oh. And between waiting for the tram, the next tram, I'm sitting like by the area, and he kind of wandered over. He's like, you okay? And I was like, yeah, I'm good. He's like, not too scary for you? I said, no. And he says, all right. And then he went back to his like station, and I did debate on getting a picture, but he's like getting ready for the next show. Yeah. And so
it's very nice.
But I actually saw two or three different intros for that.
Oh, really?
And so like he like gets there and he puts the sledgehammer behind his back, and he's got his like pre-recorded lines that he pantomimes with. And between the takes, he would like, he kind of point at me, thumbs up. Yeah. You know, waving his thumbs up. It's like, yeah, yeah. And then the one time I didn't, because I was looking at my phone, I looked and he had, like, walked over. And that's whenever, And I was like, oh, he was, like, checking on me. I was like, okay.
That's really sweet.
Yeah.
It's always nice when you know, the community is looking after each other.
I wonder if maybe there's a possibility, because I was sitting down on this, like, tiny little bench near, like, away. And I wonder if they thought that I had gotten, like, injured somehow or something. And they were like, does anybody, we called anybody or something. But I was like, no, I'm cool. Yeah, it's cool.
Like, I will say, the cool thing, the coolest thing for me, being a movie buff and a movie maker, is that with the tram tour, as you said, you get off the tram, which you don't during the actual tour.
Right.
So we were literally walking right next to Bates Motel, like the set for Bates Motel. Like, that's the real set.
And through the plane crash. And through the plane crash. Jupiter's claim.
Yes. And, like, being that up close and personal with these, like, iconic movie sets.
It's electric.
It is. And, you know, you can kind of dissociate from the haunted house at that point and just be like, I am where the saints have trod, you know?
Let's see. The other ones were the Stranger Things.
Mm-hmm.
That was very impressive. Although, I was surprised because the screaming things weren't, like, bad guys. They were more, like, people that were screaming to draw your attention to, like, the cheerleader on the ceiling or something to that effect. The what is Vector? That guy was creepy with his creepy long fingers.
Oh, Vecna.
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 I have not watched the latest season.
The latest season of Stranger Things.
But yeah, no, I actually thought he was Red Skull originally. not in the maze, obviously. Not when we got there. I was like, oh, that's like the bad, that's a Stranger's Things Red Skull. Like, whatever that is.
There is a similarity, I will admit.
And then the one that I think I like the best, outside of the Child's Play one, because that one was the one I was really jazzed for.
Yeah.
Haunted Holidays.
Haunted Holidays was a lot of fun. It was like full of... it basically, you walk through and it's New Year's Eve and there's Father Time out there with his sickle and he's like taking swipes at people and whatnot. And then you walk through every holiday of the year only like scarified.
Yeah. Could have done without the in the wall ones popping out. And I did catch sight of some leprechauns that were deeply disturbing.
You're not wrong. You're not
deeply
wrong.
But the one I was really interested in most was Thanksgiving. I don't know why. And that one,
because creepy turkeys are just fascinating.
Well, didn't have the attendant standing by the table of murdered people? Like, the attendant just, like, waving you to go through.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like, well, that's, then we could have done that differently. But the, you said you didn't see the, like, mean turkey.
I didn't see
like
the mean turkey, the no.
Anthropomorphic turkey.
Unfortunately, I didn't. Yeah. No. But I did see the weird, like, American McGee's Easter Bunny. That was a pretty good maquette right there.
And you said, what was it, the 4th of July leg guy?
4th of July, yeah. It's basically the thing with 4th of July. Like, there was insane Uncle Sam, but the main thrust of that part was...
He was on the poster, so, like, that wasn't a huge shock.
But the main thrust of that part was getting maimed by firecrackers. And so, of course, one of the things was a kid who had gotten, like, his limbs blown off by firecrackers. He was just sitting there, and he kind of lunged at you. And it was a good makeup effect. And then in the Christmas one, it was basically just jump scare, jump scare, jump scare, because it was Santa and all of his elves.
His demonic elves.
Yes.
And, that was, you know, my first thought was, like, how are they going to make Christmas scary? And I was like, immediately I was like, yeah, no, that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know why I thought for even a moment. Like,
clearly, you have not seen Santa's Slays.
Actually, I have seen Santa Slay starring Bill Goldberg.
Mm.
I kind of recommend it, but if you've had something to drink, it's a fun little fun deal.
I'll keep that in mind. I mean, the holiday seasons are coming up.
If you're watching Santa Slay by yourself and drinking, I've failed you as a friend. But okay. But yeah, those were the, mm-hmm. the mazes that our group did.
And of course, there were still some rides open mm-hmm. During Halloween Horror Nights. So we went on The Mummy, we went on Jurassic World.
We went on The Simpsons ride.
The Simpsons. Well, you went on Simpsons
ride. I went on the Simpsons ride mm-hmm. whenever I bounced for the bug thing.
Yeah.
But that was so funny because there was like a family in front of me, had like mm-hmm. two little girls, and they were dressed up for Halloween.
Uh-huh.
One was, like, what would you think like two little girls would be dressed up as?
I mean, I don't want to presume.
Right. This was Ghostface
uh-huh.
and a very convincing Chucky.
Like, didn't you say that she acted like Chucky a little bit?
She did.
Ah.
But as
is it one of these Buffy the Vampire Slayer scenarios where you are what you wear?
No. Ah. This was just a kid that was wanting to climb on the partition and the trash can that was nearby and did not care about bumping into, like, falling into the people on either side of the line, and you know, front and back of the family. I was right in back of the family. And I couldn't help but notice these kind of things where it's like, yeah, if I did that, my mother would beat me. She would be like, and make me apologize. And this, the parents did not care. I'm not saying that they were disinterested. It was a long day. Mm-hmm. It was late. It was a Halloween event. They're clearly into it.
Yeah.
It's a fun, exciting time.
By this
time.
Point, it's probably like after 10,
yeah.
I would say.
It's a fun, exciting time, mm-hmm. and kids gotta be kids, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, it would have been nice to get an apology for getting bumped into multiple times, and I wish that she hadn't given me that little, face instead of an apology, but whatever, that's fine. My grandmother always says, you pay for your raising, so that's why we're convinced one of my cousins has a very opinionated and ordinary child. We joke about it. It's like, man, Granny was spot on. But yeah. Anyway, but moving on from that, the Simpsons ride was a neat thing. But I've done it before.
Sure.
But we rode the Jurassic World ride.
Yeah.
Which I had not seen since the update.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing with the giant whale dinosaur.
The Mosasaurus.
Mosasaurus.
That was my favorite part of that ride. I don't usually like screen parts of rides, but that was very well done.
It was very well done.
Yeah. Basically, you ride in and you see a great white shark, and then the Mosasaur, like, sweeps in and eats the shark and then starts to attack the glass, and, like, they show the cracking, and you kind of have this, like, suspenseful moment of, oh, no, and then it just sprays you.
Yeah, the water starts to
douses you.
Quote-unquote leak from mm-hmm. the glass. But, yeah, and, you know, you get kind of splashed a little. Yeah, and, of course, what is the one with the
frilly?
You said it earlier.
Dilophosauruses?
Yeah, sure. You know, they spray you. There's like one that like jumps out of the water like a leaf eater. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever it is. You know what? I'm gonna be really honest. I don't think it was a real dinosaur. I think it was an animatronic, but it did splash us.
Wow! How dare you be so bold and yet so correct?
Now we did wander. Yeah, here's a surprise, folks.
Mm-hmm.
We rode the Jurassic Park ride, a gentle boat ride designed to take you through the herbivores.
Yes, I want to see some triceratopses. You know, they're my favorite dinosaurs.
Went terribly wrong. We wound up in a conveyor
belt. It's almost like Jurassic Park or Jurassic World just isn't safe.
I remember looking at Laura.
Someone should really, you know, inspect this place. They need some regulation.
I was sitting between you and Laura, and mm-hmm. we were like second row. Because I remember originally we were going to sit in the front, and I was like, oh, Laura,
sit in the front.
But we were second
row.
The
log flume ride, I feel like the second row is probably the safest for, like, as far as, like, water.
You and I both had hoodie hoods. We were like, yeah. Done!
Dive!
Now, we're like, on the conveyor belt. I was like, I looked at Laura sitting between the two of you and went, it makes no sense. If we're not supposed to be here, why would they build the track? It doesn't make any sense.
It's for maintenance, Aubrey.
Well, we did get Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard telling us not to panic. Like,
yeah.
They were like the red lights.
And then we found out
the
Tyrannosaurus Rex can fly.
Oh, well, that was before.
Like, that's just game over, man.
That was hilarious. Because, yeah, the last two times I've ridden mm-hmm. that ride, years apart, I always chicken out and I close my eyes. I just like, and sometimes I'll even cover my ears because it's just a lot with the giant animatronic. And I know that before, the Tyrannosaurus like lunges at you as you do.
Like he comes
drop.
Down through the ceiling. It's just his head and like upper body, right? This time it's the entire thing.
It's the entire thing, which is very unsettling to see a Tyrannosaurus's foot hovering for no reason. But I remember, we're looking at us like, it's like, well, they look angry and they're going to fight.
Yeah.
Okay. And then all of a sudden there were this foot and I just couldn't stop laughing. Yeah. It was like, and to be fair, I couldn't stop laughing for all of like 40 seconds.
I mean, I'm not an Imagineer. Yeah.
I don't know for sure why the Tyrannosaurus flying was not more prominently featured in our studies.
I mean, you'd think that, you know, Tyrannosaurus Rex having, you know, pixie dust sprinkled on by Tinkerbell would have been a bigger plot point.
Okay, well, you know what? You're talking out of your ass. They were just inherently flyable, okay?
They're just a big ol' bag of helium.
What you don't know is that a Tyrannosaurus fart is a little bit of a propeller. Like, get you off the
ground. Oh, so it's like a rocket.
Yeah.
Okay, so are you proposing the dinosaurs are in space?
Like,
is it possible that the dinosaurs survived the extinction event by jettisoning themselves on their farts up into space?
Dan, have you never heard of Ninja Sex Party's song?
You know what? Now I gotta look into it.
Yeah, you definitely do.
Documentary?
Well, yeah, obviously.
Intensely scientifically researched.
Well, yeah, but I will be honest. The research took a lot of the grant money, so the doc is animated.
Oh.
Yeah. But it's a pretty good adaptation. Like, it's pretty, I get the point
across. Just so long as the facts are all checked out.
But yeah, and then the mummy ride broke for a while. And
we walked past it like three times, like each time hoping it'd be open.
Like demented little, like optimistic children, like, is it okay? And then it randomly was. And we rode that.
It is one of my favorite rides at Universal.
I got to see what cast members look like when they just want to go home. It was late. It was like 2 a.m.
It was close to it. I think it was more like 1:30. 1:30.
Yeah, the park was closing at 2.
Yeah.
And then Laura, because she's amazing, drove the two of us and Sarah to her like neighborhood so we could get an Uber.
Yeah. Someplace where it wasn't just going to be packed. Because even at around 2 a.m., Universal was still packed.
It was.
The line for The Last of Us.
Yeah. Oh, The Last of Us.
The Last of Us was still like 65 minutes.
That's right. You wanted to do that. We never got to that.
Yeah. It is unfortunate, but at the same time, zombies freak me out, even if they are fake.
I'm going to be really honest. If it was zombies, I was not going to do it. Hard pass. But I got in about 2, and we didn't have late plans.
Yeah.
So I got to sleep in this morning, which brought us to my very last day in LA. And today you picked probably the best, like, crown jewel experience for me to do in LA.
The Academy of Motion Pictures Arts and Sciences Museum.
It was awesome.
I had never been there either. It opened, I want to say, like 2019. Mm-hmm. And it was just an incredible collection.
Yeah, there was so much to look at.
Mm-hmm.
And we started, one of the things that drew my attention was on Monday, we saw that those flyers.
The
Pope of Filth. Mm-hmm. And it was a whole floor exhibit for John Waters.
Because as long as I've known you, and I might have known this at some point, but we were talking about movies, because obviously we do, and I asked you what your favorite movie was, and you said,
1990 classic, Crybaby.
And I didn't know that or had forgotten it. And then we randomly saw these banners all over the place advertising John Waters' exhibit.
If you don't know who John Waters is, you have seen him. He pops up in a lot of things, sort of
like
The
Simpsons.
The Simpsons. He pops up in Seed of Chucky. Mm-hmm. He pops in all sorts of things.
He's got this little, like, Vincent Price pencil mustache.
But he has, in my opinion, more artistic talent than, like, just shock value. You know, don't get me wrong. He was not afraid. He's still alive. He's not afraid to push boundaries. And a lot of his films, similar to Stephen King, who makes all of his films in Maine, a lot of his films take place in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
Because he grew up in Baltimore right around the time that civil rights were really, like, the civil rights movement was really gaining speed. Mm-hmm. And he, as a white male, was noticing a lot of this. and he's, you know, an actual great dude. And so you see that reflected in a lot of things. Now, granted, Hairspray is probably a better take on the civil rights movement. But more than Crybaby, I should explain. But Crybaby is a very fun frolic, and it stars a very early in his career, Johnny Depp. Mm-hmm. This was his first
movie, right?
No, his first ever movie was actually Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh, interesting.
He played Glenn, who becomes Soup in a bed.
Okay.
Yeah. But this was his first big starring role. Mm-hmm. And this was his...
I know they actually had... part of the exhibit, they had the cast list of Crybaby. And for Johnny Depp, they had a bunch of a bunch of magazine covers from like teen magazines. Mm-hmm. And they're all like, Johnny Depp from 21 Jump Street is going to join with John Waters. And it was like almost scandalous.
I didn't tell you this, but he was on 21 Jump Street. Mm-hmm. And at that point, he was tired of doing 21 Jump Street. Oh. He actually pitched several things to make his character weird, so they would eventually write him off.
Uh-huh.
One of the things actually was his character would always eat peanut butter just all the time for no reason. And then that is referenced in 21 Jump Street, the movie.
Uh-huh.
But that's it. I digress. But he hated being this teen heartthrob. And he wanted to do these like...
weirder things.
Yeah. He wanted to do more, you know, like really spread his wings and whatnot.
Hence Edward Scissorhands.
Now, of course, he was...
Crybaby.
Yeah. And he was a teen heartthrob. Mm-hmm. Now, the girl who plays Allison... Oh, God. Why don't I know her name? Hang on, I do have to look this up because I look like a chump if I don't know this real quick. So, Johnny Depp was a teen heartthrob.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Amy LeCaine. She was young at the time. I think this was her first, like, thing. She's in Airheads with Brandon Fraser.
Okay.
And Steve Buscemi. And others. But, anyway, she was going to have to meet, you know... Johnny Depp,
yeah.
Who, again, teen heartthrob.
And she's a teen.
And
her heart throbbed.
She tells a story about how she actually met him at John Waters' house.
Mm-hmm.
At least I think that's where it was. And one of the things that he had them do, just to break the ice, is he had them kiss. And she literally fainted. And she said she was mortified. She literally fainted. And, but yeah, that was her was her first starring role. She thought she got fired because of it. And John Waters is, like, really cool.
Yeah.
But anyway... he does so much more than Crybaby. He does all these different things. I actually learned a lot more
Pink Flamingo is the main one that I know him from because it's absolutely notorious. It's one of the most notorious movies ever made.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. At least in America.
Hairspray, which I had to explain to you, went from a movie with some music to a Broadway musical to a movie adaptation of the Broadway musical.
Yeah.
And, as
with all these things, like, they went through his life and his entire career, and that included his, like, early... short films, which, as someone who, you know, went to film school, who has, you know, made short films with the same type of camera that he used, they had his camera there, by the way.
That was pretty awesome.
Getting to watch these short films from someone who went on to become so iconic is just fascinating.
And, yeah, and it's just, like I said...
And they had, like, script pages from, like, his actual drafts with, like, his notes on them and his revisions and seeing his process... and how he evolved as a filmmaker throughout his career. Because each room is dedicated to a different movie and different period of his
different
career.
Period of his life. And what's really neat is you can track his evolution as a filmmaker. And just as, like, you can see him kind of getting more mature with some things. Yeah. And you can see the different things that he wanted to push and take on.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, it's really neat. There's very few points in his career where I'm like, oh, that was a good move. It's, you know... He's very, like, he's a really cool dude. Like I said, if you are over the age of 15, you have seen something with him in it. You might not know who he is, but as soon as you see him, it's one of those, he's one of those that guys.
Yeah.
Oh, it's that guy.
Yeah.
But anyway, that was a fascinating, it was the Pope of Filth.
Mm-hmm.
And that was
fascinating. And I believe it's running through, like, August of 2024.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
And after that, we followed the rest of the... That was on the fourth floor.
Yeah. And then we did the
next three exhibits. We didn't realize.
Museum in reverse order, basically.
We kept doing it backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not all the way backwards, I think. Well, yeah, I guess we started from the tail end.
Yeah.
Because we were told to work our way down.
Yeah.
And I think we should have done, like, the way up.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, Dan, you and I have an interest in the Oscars.
Mm-hmm.
We're not, like... just, we're going to be so angry if such and such doesn't win. I have an interest in it, and because I'm me, I had to make it a game.
Yeah.
And so I started doing the Oscars parties back when you and I both lived in Peoria. Mm-hmm. In fact, you were at my very first Oscars party. Oh. Yeah. That was back when I did the whiteboard, the big board. Mm-hmm. And everyone saw my handwriting, and Sam was like, I'll just do it.
Yeah.
But since then, I've done, like, the Oscars parties, and that's always fun. We make it, like, a whole event. Mm-hmm. And you've played the Oscars party over, like, the phone with us. But
I will brag, I did pretty good last year.
You didn't beat Carrie, who followed the internet. It's hard to beat Carrie.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's running. Actually, she didn't win last year. She lost in a coin toss.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. In fact, a newbie won this year. Mm. But yeah. Anyway, all that to say, we spent a good deal in the Oscars room.
Mm-hmm.
We got to see from the creation of the Oscars all the way to present day.
Yeah.
And like the films, like the different incidents in films and things that they chose to call out.
Yeah.
We were impressed with some of the things that they called out. For example, I don't think...
The slap.
The slap was in there.
The slap was in there, but COVID wasn't.
COVID wasn't.
Which I feel like that was a little bit of an oversight.
I kind of... Don't get me wrong. Like, should he have slapped that guy? Probably not. I don't think that was great. But at the same time, I feel like maybe a global pandemic might have been... Yeah, because they didn't know that they were going to be able to do the Oscars. Uh-huh. And the way that they did it was wildly pared down.
Yeah.
I mean, like, 75 people in the room
mm-hmm.
and, like, spaced out at tables and all sorts of stuff. Not to mention, that's the year that Anthony Hopkins won the Oscar.
And fell asleep.
It was against Chadwick Boseman.
Chadwick Boseman.
Okay, it was against Chadwick Boseman. Mm-hmm. Who everyone thought was going to win posthumously.
He went to sleep because he was in England. He didn't want to stay up.
Yeah.
To lose.
And it was like the year that they did Les Mis, and Sally Field goes, they're going to give it to Anne. Yeah, I get it. But that was the first year that it ended. I made a joke making the boards that year that I was like, why even bother putting the other nominees on the boards? Because it's going to be Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah.
And then what wound up happening was, Anthony Hopkins wins,
but
he's not there. He doesn't even stay up to do the telecast thing. And then it ended with an awkward, well, that's our show.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. But all that to say.
Yeah, because they not only that, but they thought it was going to be this big, like, posthumous thing. So they made it the last thing, even after Best Picture, which Best Picture is usually the
end. Yeah. Because, And so.
Someone got fired for that.
Oh, I doubt it. I don't know. Because that means that they'd have to admit that something wasn't even in the slightest bit possibly, you know, planned in that way.
Uh-huh.
Which, obviously, it wasn't. But there we go.
Yeah.
But anyway, we spent a long time in the Oscars room. Mm-hmm. That was really neat.
They had a bunch of awesome costumes. Uh-huh. Again, they had, you know, they basically kind of walked you through the process and had certain iconic films highlight.
I loved how they explained, like, what the individual categories really are. Like, what is sound, and what is the cinematography, and what is, you know, just the costuming. Everything had its own little wing, and that was a really amazing afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so much fun.
You know, it's very well designed. It's very well organized.
And there's not a single thing that we saw a clip of in there that I wasn't like, I have to watch that. Every single one of them, I'm like, I made a list on my phone. But,
the montages of movies that they have at the beginning of exhibits, you're just sitting there and you're watching them, and it's just iconic shot after iconic shot. And there's a reason why they're iconic, because they're fascinating and they're engrossing and you want to watch them.
And I will say this. It's not a bunch of clips you've already seen for all these movies. There were several things that I didn't know what they were at first. And so you're not seeing stuff that's just been repeated. You know, you're not seeing your Turner Classic Movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all these... I didn't see hardly any references to, like, Wizard of Oz, for example.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like, these Marvel movies or whatnot.
So there was an entire room dedicated to The Godfather.
There was. Mm-hmm. But that's... I stand by that. You just shut your mouth.
I stand by that. I'm not complaining. They actually had Francis Ford Coppola's annotated...
Mm-hmm.
Novel of The Godfather. He basically tore out all the pages, mounted them on 8 by 8.5 by 11 pieces of paper, put them into a spiral binder, and then just wrote in the margins, like, intense notes as he was preparing to write his draft and even direct the movie.
But yeah, like that was your recommendation, mm-hmm. and I'm so glad that we took it. That was so much fun. And then afterwards, we went back to the steakhouse from night one because I
finally got your steak.
I got the steak. And then I did the most LA thing I've ever heard of, ever. Because we were looking at the dessert, and I was like, it's my last night. I want to splurge. I want to get a dessert. And so Dan says, well, we can get gelato or flan. And so, well, which one do you want? And he says, flan, but we have to go to a different place. I said, okay. So we paid the bill, and then we leave and immediately go into the next door restaurant.
The next door restaurant.
And I was like, oh, we'll just get it to go. We got a table, and we had a flan. I was like, what kind of people leave a restaurant and then go to a new restaurant that's right next door?
Yeah. The type of people who
want to eat that flan. That was good.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But also, we were a 45-minute drive away from your hotel.
We were, yeah.
So, unless you wanted to eat a flan in an Uber, which I think they probably frown upon.
I just assumed we'd bring it here, but I think we made the right call.
We did. Anyway, it was delicious, too.
All that.
Should I call out Red O?
What?
Red O is the name of the restaurant with the flan.
Red O?
Red O.
Red O. So mm-hmm. if you have the opportunity, I recommend the flan at Red O. It was so good.
And it's a Mexican restaurant. It is very good.
We got an Uber
mm-hmm.
back here
mm-hmm.
Because I had to set up and then I get to go to bed after this. But you still have to go home. Sorry.
I do.
But the Uber driver that we had didn't run into any oncoming traffic and didn't violently honk at anybody or...
It was very chill. It was very chill ride back.
Yeah, it was very chill ride back. Mm-hmm. And I got to see some lights and all that.
You also, I will say, one of the great things about doing Uber in a big city is that you get to kind of, not so much test drive, but experience different kinds of cars.
The car that picked us up from the museum and mm-hmm. went to the first restaurant?
Yeah.
That was, I didn't even think I was allowed to be in a fancy car like that.
I think
it's
like a Tesla S or something like that.
Like, I looked up and there was no ceiling. It was just mm-hmm. this dome glass. And I was like... That's amazing. And
the first Uber we took today was like a Ford, like a brand new Ford electric car.
One of them, I didn't understand how to use the car handle to get into the car. That was fancy.
Yeah, car handle, they're evolving rapidly, more rapidly than I can keep up with.
Designed to keep us confused.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, that was the end of my week in LA. Now, tomorrow morning, I will have to get up, pack up my room, and head on home. I'm going to be flying for the better part of the day.
Yeah. I'm very sad.
I know.
You'll have to come back and visit.
I definitely will.
I got way more things to recommend to you.
Well, that's good. But I'm really glad that I took this. It's going to be a bit of a bear to edit, but I am excited that this is one of the first episodes that I'm coming back with.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, all in all, I would say that I am exceptionally glad that I took the recommendation to come out here, because God knows you've been giving that recommendation for a while.
Well, glad to have you.
We did a lot of fun stuff. You picked some stuff. I picked some stuff. I don't think there were really any negatives, aside from all the foot crushing.
So, apart from all the foot crushing.
Not recommended escalator stabby pains.
Also, wearing very old off-brand Converse shoes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I should probably get, like, proper sneakers next time I come back. But over, you know, all in all, like I said, I enjoyed it. And, you know, that's kind of where I'm at with that, but...
Well, I enjoyed having you.
All right, well, I think that kind of wraps up this very long episode. Again, we'll be having new hosts every week. There will be some repeats, because I'm going to run out of friends eventually. So, yeah.
You just have to make more.
Well, especially if I make them do stuff that I'm unsure about. So, like it's a bad experience. They're like, well... You're dead to me. Yeah, I think that pretty much ends the episode. So for now, I'm Aubrey.
I'm Dan.
And this has been
Recommended to me by a friend.
Bye.
Bye.
And that's officially a wrap on my adventure in LA. I wanted to give a special shout out to the screenwriters and actors of Hollywood. You guys are an amazing group of people, and I'm forever grateful that you took the time to listen to anything that I've ever written. You're just amazing people. Special shout out to Laura Willard, who put up with my security cat self at Universal, along with the ever-patient Sarah Homan, who I owe unending apologies for just straight up abandoning her in that very first room of the Chucky Maze. So if you're listening, super, super sorry. And finally, a special thank you to the one and only Mr. Dan Little, who was not only my host for the week, but also came up with some amazing recommendations.
and also is my producer. He makes everything I do so much better. That's the end of this episode, and I hope you come back next time for Recommended to Me by a Friend. Oh, and if you take anything from this, just one thing, make sure it's that you watch Cry Baby. It's an amazing movie. Just do it. Okay, bye.